103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Brian Green, himself, Peter Donegan, and herself, Katrina Redmond, who does the blogs, with you until 3:30 this afternoon. On today's programme, we will be talking mushrooms. Peter Donegan will be talking with Ireland's largest and best growers of what is an 85% export product for Ireland, the mushroom. From the picking and how they are grown, to the industry itself that benefits nutritionally, how Monaghan Mushrooms employs 3,500 people worldwide. Yes, you heard that correctly. All the way up to Just Add Mushroom campaign. Their Facebook page, which has 109,000 plus likes. Yes, you heard that correctly. 109,000 plus likes. And the support for the industry from Bord Bia, Ireland's Food Promotion Board, who should also say thanks to them for helping us put this show together here on The Sod Show this week. The Sod Show, Ireland's garden podcast, right here on Dublin City FM. You can get in touch with us on Twitter during the show. At Sod Show is the address. You can get in touch. Oh, there's somebody tweeting me now. You can get in touch with us during the week on email info@sodshow.com. And you can also check out our podcasts. For the last 4.5 years, they're at sodshow.com. You can go and download them all. Let's not waste any time. One of my favourite vegetables is the mushroom. And yes, I have seen mushrooms. Unlike beetroot, I have seen mushrooms. I've seen them grow. And I'd always check the soup of the day. And if it isn't mushroom, I probably haven't having it. Yeah, I love the mushroom almost as much as I love cider. Let's have a listen. Here's Peter Donegan.
It's a Friday afternoon. It is Ireland's best podcast and non-today show. We are essentially talking mushrooms. It's a Sod Show first that I am aware. In my company are three experts, two ladies, one gentleman, and they will introduce themselves as such.
Laura Belton from Monaghan Mushrooms.
Karen Kerrigan, Kerrigan's Mushrooms.
John Kerrigan, Kerrigan's Mushrooms.
Okay, so who do I start with? Who's the youngest?
Hopefully, I don't know if I am or not. But where would we like to go?
I gather you're, well, because it says Kerrigan's on your jacket, and I gather I'm gathering it's Dad beside you. Yeah, it is. Okay, you're obviously involved in the trade, and for a young girl, I won't ask what age you are because I've got into trouble for this before, but just say, let's say mathematical sign under 30. Have I got a nod of approval on that?
No, I'm actually 35.
Holy crap. Right. I was either going to be in trouble or not in trouble. So okay, I'm getting a thumbs up here. Let's change this. Have you been involved in the mushroom industry kind of all your life?
Yeah, well, my dad, John, he started growing mushrooms in 1981, so over 30 years growing mushrooms. And I suppose I've grew up in the industry. I've seen a change over the years from growing on beds, growing on plastic bags on the ground to the modern day shelving system. So there's been huge changes in my lifetime.
How come you stuck with it? Because most, you know, sorry, I know Dad is right beside me, but most good-looking girls that I know, you know, coming up through the horticultural ranks in college in Kildalton, it kind of isn't the easiest job. And for those who aren't aware, Dad, would you like to explain the mushroom picking process of that I would have known, which essentially was the plastic bags on the ground?
Yeah, well, we started off with plastic bags on the ground, so it was quite hard work because you were bending over all the time picking. Now we have a more modern system, we grow on shelves, so it's that bit easier. We have better picking aids for the girls picking mushrooms, but essentially they're a hand-picked product and they have to be handled with care. But it's a big industry in Ireland, and it's very important to the Irish industry. You know, a lot of mushrooms exported. I would say about 85% of the mushrooms grown in Ireland are exported. So it's very, very important.
The growth of a mushroom, essentially, it is not a plant by right.
No, it is a fungus, so it grows and comes up as a mycelium, which are millions of little strands of mycelium that grow up into the fruit body, which is the actual mushroom you see. So that takes about a process of about 21 days until you're picking mushrooms from when you put in your compost, which is an advanced phase 3 type of compost that we use now, which is made by Monaghan Mushrooms and Walsh's in Custom Compost down in Wexford. So they're the two main suppliers of that.
For those who aren't aware, and I do a nod to Brian Green back in studio on this one, who has only ever seen beetroot still in a jar, I should add, never in real life with a root. They're all laughing at you, Brian, and don't get me wrong, Brian, they don't know what MP3 stands for, so it's a bit touche. But from my recollection, from my experience, the mushrooms were grown in dark tunnels. They were damp tunnels. Their floors were always wet. They were essentially a polythene tunnel shape, but dark and damp and dusty inside. Not dusty, obviously, but you know, dark and damp at all times inside. It's perfect conditions for mushroom growing. It also meant you had damp socks on the way back. You've gone through 30 odd years of that at this stage of the game, as has your daughter.
Yeah, well, it's much more advanced now. We don't have those old conditions where they were growing on earthen floors. Now we have modern sheds where they grow on, where the humidity is kept much better with steam and with water. We have much, much better growing conditions now, much easier for people to work in, much different, much more advanced.
Let's change this slightly. The benefits of mushrooms, of eating, because as far as I'm concerned, don't get me wrong, there is nothing beats a decent fry up with mushrooms on the side, finely chopped. And equally, I would have to add that when I was picking them in college, I probably ate my fair share of what was picked and what was also put into the boxes. It was college, folks. It was college. I wasn't getting paid for it. Are there benefits to eating mushrooms? And not that I'm any form of dietitian or other, but are there benefits to it?
Absolutely. Mushrooms are a fantastic source of nutrients. First of all, they're virtually fat-free. They've got very low calories, but they've also got a high satiety value, which means that they are very filling. They're high in B vitamins, which helps combat tiredness. They're high in protein, which is great for vegetarians because they've got that meaty texture as well. So you can add them in to meals to replace meat. So you're lowering your the fat in the meal, and you're also upping your nutrients there as well. They're sugar-free, salt-free, they're great for your skin. They're great for pregnant women as well because they're a great source of folic acid. And as I'm pregnant at the moment myself, I'm eating lots of mushrooms. So
there you go, a hot tip, fellas out there. So by the way, there's a Dougal moment in there for the whole audience. I didn't know where I was going to end. I'll be on some kind of Ricky Lake show if this keeps up. I'll be giving tips to pregnant women. And no, this is where we're going way off the point of horticulture. Two things that I remember, we're going to Dad just back now in a sec, but two things I remember from my apple picking days. Yes, I said apple picking, it's not a mistake. But when you picked an apple from the orchards again, that was generally down around the southeast of the country where I would have been working, but you'd never picked with your fingertips. And I'm reminded when I'm walking through the supermarkets now and I see the bruised apples, and you can see where the pinpoint fingers 2 days later have all of a sudden reappeared. Equally, in you pick it with the ball of your hand, which is essentially the back of your knuckle. If would that be right? It would be right. So in mushroom picking, there's a similar way of doing it, and I see people picking them up in the supermarket and putting them back down again. I'm going, Jesus, don't, please, come on, it's going to look a bit dark, it's going to damage it, its appearance in a sense. Can you explain that to me?
They're very tender, so, but they are picked. The girls that pick them mostly, now there are some men pick them too, but mostly girls, they're very light on the touch, so they're picked by the fingertips, but they can pick maybe two or three mushrooms at a time. They're very adept at it. They've got very skillful over the years. They're really, really good. And this most important part is picking the mushroom, picking it and keeping it.
I'm not going to try and get you into trouble, so I'll ask daughter this question, but your dad said that the girls are, and again, for those listening at home, don't get me wrong, the fellas that I would know, if you gave them a hoover, they'd knock the lampshade out of your ceiling. That's the level we're at. And equally in show garden building, as I've noted before, I still refer to that cherry tree that came into flower too early, and we had to get literally spend 2 days, two girls, not fellas, they would have pulled the tree down and thrown it in a ditch somewhere, but the two girls came in and picked every single petal off by hand, so it appeared as though it hadn't come into flower. How accurate is your dad in this, and how important is it as well to have mushrooms? And this is the serious side of it, I guess, which is back to a little bit the marketing. It's to the appearance. It's the perfect mushroom in the sense that we're looking for on the supermarket shelf.
Well, when someone's shopping, they want a quality mushroom product. They buy with their eyes. So if they see a good quality product there, they'll pick it up. And that's where we get the sales from, is repeat business, people coming back and liking that quality product. When they go home, you know, it's a lovely product when they slice it. And it's so versatile, mushrooms. We'd love to see people eating it in every meal of the day, from their breakfast, you know, scrambled eggs and fried mushrooms on the pan, into something at lunchtime, and then again at their dinner. It is such a versatile product, it's great.
Is it a case of that the supermarket will come back to you though? And again, I say this for people listening at home, I would understand this because I've been and seen and done it. So the all joking aside bit, to have somebody who's a little bit genteel, who's not picking with the fingertips, to place that into essentially a container which is taken away, which is, I guess, graded. I'm speeding this process up slightly. You'll have to explain it to me a little bit better. My apologies. But it's then graded into various shapes and sizes, and graded then one and two, and then it's packaged. There's a lot of handling to, I guess, make that happen to what is the finished product, number one, and then number two, to not actually handle any of it, because essentially, if you, a bit like the apple analogy, if you touch it, 2 days later you've got a bruised black mushroom sitting in a tray on a supermarket shelf, which is essentially, I gather, going to be discarded.
Yeah, no, with the picking, you have to, it's very important how they're picked. That's what gives it the quality. And with the different grading of mushrooms, you know, on the beds, there's a different variety, different sizes of mushrooms. So on the bed, you have big mushrooms, larger mushrooms. So depending on what type of product you're picking into, if you're picking baby mushrooms, which are the small little mushrooms, they go into one pack. And then if you're going on to a bigger mushroom, some people like a bigger mushroom to cook with, that's into a different pack. So when the mushroom pickers are picking, they're looking at the different sizes and they're grading them as per different customer requirements. So depending on what the customer requires, that's what we're picking to.
Yeah, you know, so they're only handled once. We never handle the mushroom again. It's put into that pack once and that's it. So it'll retain its freshness and it'll look well when it goes onto the shelf. So just once touched, that's all the time.
Is it a case, and can I ask you this, not so much to do Magnus Masterson on the business, but how many people would be employed, let's say, by Monaghan Mushrooms, thereabouts?
Monaghan Mushrooms worldwide employ over 3,500 people. It's a lot of people, yeah.
You said worldwide?
Yeah, that's right. We have farms in Germany, across the UK, the Netherlands and Canada. So in total, just over 3,500 people are involved in the whole process, right from picking the mushrooms, maintenance, right up to head office, like marketing, for example, research and development. And that's not to mention all our suppliers that we work with and the people in transport who deliver the products for us.
And is Monaghan Mushrooms, can I ask, a family business? Did it start as that? Can you give me a little bit of background?
Yeah, Monaghan Mushrooms started in 1981 as well. It's a family business. It's still run by Ronnie Wilson, who set the company up in 81, and his family are all now involved in running the business as well.
And did you turn around one day? I mean, the odd show bingo around is that I used to grow plants under my bed when I was 5, and I went to study horticulture. There's a bit of a fill in the blank in there somewhere. You used to grow mushrooms under your bed, and then decided I want to get into the mushroom industry. How far off the mark am I?
You're not too far off the mark, actually. My first ever job when I was 16 was picking mushrooms at weekends, and I did that for about 2 years. Weekends and school holidays, and then I went off and went to university and had a different career, and then suddenly found myself applying for a job at Monaghan Mushrooms in the marketing department. So sort of became full circle, really. So I know a bit about mushrooms, and I do love them. I think they're a great food, and I think the industry is fantastic for the employment that it gives to people in the area. You know, I think it's such a big thing in Ireland.
It's nearly a part of our staple diet. In my household, it'll be up there right alongside the potato. The Kerrigan business, 1981, it also says, also stated, but 1981, and I know I don't look it, but I would have been 5 years of age, older than your daughter in a sense. It would have been, I guess, as a guy who went through secondary school doing nothing but business subjects, it wasn't really the greatest period maybe in the Irish financial economics times to be setting up a new business that essentially requires a lot of infrastructure.
Well, it was not much employment in Ireland. Farms were small, so it went out to a lot of farmers, put up maybe three or four mushroom tunnels, started growing the mushrooms alongside a family farm. The family were picking the mushrooms. But that has all changed over the years. Now there used to be about 700 or 800 growers in Ireland, mushroom growers in Ireland. Now I suppose you're looking at about 70 or 80. But the 70 or 80 grow more mushrooms than were grown originally. In the beginning, 1981, mushrooms weren't eaten in Ireland. No, they weren't something that were on the plate regularly, you know. So it took a while to break that into the Irish way of eating, and it changed. And they've become, I'd say, one of the top vegetables now in Ireland, if not the world.
I've got to ask you this question because you're after my. We're around the same age. Let's put it that. There's a compliment for you too. Everybody gets a compliment today. But you know, you mentioned that we didn't really eat it as a diet. You're right there. It would have been in my household growing up, one of eight children. It was potatoes with something, essentially. God knows what the something was half of the time, but mushrooms, we didn't really see that often, if I'm quite honest with you. It wasn't just us. Nobody did. You've come a long way from 1981 to 2015. I gather that marketing has a massive role to play in it, and I know alongside Bord Bia you do some very important work. How and what, can I ask you, do Bord Bia do with you or for you, and how important is what they do?
Oh, Bord Bia are excellent. Without them, really, the industry wouldn't be where it is today. They pushed it and pushed it, helped us along the way with this type of show, with Bloom, with everything they do across the board. Bord Bia are excellent. I couldn't speak highly enough about them. With their, you know, with their authentication with food, with everything, you know, they're so respected, and anything that carries their logo is really, really wanted by the consumer.
Just to put in context, the second thing I remember after 1981 was a point before the euro as a currency in Ireland, and it was the fact that we had the punt. So, and at one point in time, the punt went on par with the sterling. For those of you listening at home, just bear this in mind. We go on par with the sterling. So to buy a mushroom, in short, in this country, it might have cost you at the time, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, that, but it was, we were about 0.79 or about 0.8 to the euro from the punt. So from the sterling, we were about 60 pence approximately to the English pound is what we would have been. And then to go on par with value with them means it was actually costing them, we'll just say for example's sake, about 40 pence more approximately.
Yes, that has totally changed. At the present, where sterling is down at 71 cent, it's ideal for export. So it's really good for Ireland at the moment. It's helping us to no end exporting anything, but especially mushrooms or whatever, which are our game. So it's really, you know, the exchange rate is so important.
To the point of what I was trying to get, and apologies if my mathematics was a little bit wrong, but when it went on par, the 85% export market to the UK, it was around, I'm open to correction on this, so we'll try and clarify in the meantime, but around the 90s, let's say, and I remember there was a huge push from Bord Bia across all crosses, all walks, to try and get people to buy, I guess, what was essentially a massive excess because it wasn't financially viable to send them across the water.
That's right. They did a big promotion campaign and it really paid off. And people found the benefits of mushrooms by eating them. So it took little by little with all the promotions and Bord Bia and all the good work that was done that increased the consumption in Ireland to our benefit. So it's really, really good.
As another young lady in my company, there's a baby on the way. I won't go any more into that. And for no apparent, we will after this. We'll have a cup of tea together. We'll figure it all out. Be grand. How is the future for the mushroom industry looking? What's the next step? What's the next changes?
I think the future of the mushroom industry is incredibly positive. The work that we're doing with Bord Bia at the moment with the Just Add Mushroom campaign shows that people are really starting to see the benefits of mushrooms, not just the health benefits, but the versatility of the product, the fact that it can be cooked up so quickly, so easily, it goes in so many different types of meals. It's so affordable to buy mushrooms, like the punnets are... They're not expensive at all in comparison to other things that you would buy in the supermarket. And if you look at the Just Add Mushroom campaign that Bord Bia are running in conjunction with all the mushroom producers, I mean, we've got over 100,000 fans on Facebook talking about mushrooms every day.
100,000 fans, just to put it in context. I don't know whether the Sideshow is over 100 now, to put that in perspective. A mushroom is more popular than me. Are you joking me? That's the level we're kind of heading at. You're probably the next generation of mushroom growers. There's a lot of people, I guess, employed in the industry. The marketing is there. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, I never thought I'd see a mushroom marketed to the point where it had 100,000 fans on Facebook. Is it a case of that you run this campaign maybe for the next until the end of the year and then try and come up with a new one? I noticed the inverted commas celebrity chefs have kind of got involved as well. Have they got a big role to play in that?
Yeah, I think it brings something new to the mushroom industry and to the whole mushroom, how people eat mushrooms, and it's just something new and gets people engaged. We've had Jodie Kidd, we've had Nicky Byrne. There's been so many people who've used mushrooms, talked about mushrooms, and it's just getting young people eat mushrooms. It's great, it's fun. It's really exciting time in mushrooms, it is, yeah.
Dad, if you could change one thing in the whole industry and if you could go back to the 1981 and kind of go, I wish I had it done, what would it have been? Or would there be anything at all?
Well, there wouldn't. You'd learn something from your mistakes, but we've been quite lucky and we've been worked with supermarkets and that, and we've grown the business. The supermarkets have been good to us. They are our outlets, so I'd be happy with it, what we have done, with what we have achieved. We're not as big as Monaghan Mushrooms by any means, but we are a very niche market. What we do very well, as do Monaghan in their way.
He says, look, you know what my dad says about luck? It's hard work and being in the right place. To all of you, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Brian, it's back to you in the studio. Cheers all.
Our thanks to John Kerrigan, Laura Belton and Karen Kerrigan. And as always, our man with the microphone in a field. He'll be the man holding a microphone in a field 24 hours a day. Our producer, Peter Donegan, thanks. You're with 103.2 Dublin City FM. Peter mentioned a couple of things there. Yeah, the MP3, Brian would know what the MP3 would stand for. Had to give it a little thought, but yes, the M stands for motion. The 3, well, that's just the version number. And the P, you're going to think about the P while we play Song of the Week. So think of the P and MP3. He also mentioned the currency exchanges. Ireland broke with the sterling in the UK around 1978 when we joined the European monetary system. And the UK stayed out of that. And then on the 30th of March 1979, all hell broke loose when the European economic rate mechanism, and that's when we really broke and everything went haywire. 30th of March 1979. So I remember feeling that my pocket money was down, I think, that decade. Let's get to Song of the Week, and it's absolutely nothing got to do with mushrooms except it sounds like a mushroom. This is a beautiful, beautiful song. It's a debut track from her first album, which came out in 2004, and my notes tell me that it was called Let It Die. It's from a Canadian singer-songwriter, goes by the name of Feist, which is her surname. Her first name is Leslie Feist, and this is a song, as I say, nothing to do with mushrooms, but it sounds like them. Mushaboom. Mushaboom.
helping the kids out of their coat.
The wonderful sound of Feist and Musha Boom on 103.2 Dublin City FM Sod Show. Good afternoon to you. Did you think about the P in MP3 and what it stands for? If M is for motion and 3 is just the number 3, layer 3, the answer to the question is P stands for picture. Yeah, I know you think MP3, you think that's music, that's sound, but the P stands for picture, from the Motion Picture Expert Group, MPEG. There you go, MP3 explained. European Monetary System explained. Nothing to do with horticulture at all. That's why I'm here, and I'll be here next week as well at 3 p.m. every Friday on podcast from 3:30. Right now, somebody's getting ready with the go live button and the podcast will go worldwide to podcast servers, and iTunes will have to put on some extra servers just to take the load. And our thanks to Katrina Rebham to keep us straight on the blogs and with the podcast every week. Get in touch during the week. We're at info@sodshow.com. Goodbye to all our Twitter followers at Sodshow. Until next Friday, 3, on behalf of Peter, I'm Brian Green signing off. Take care. Bye-bye.